morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. You're listening to the Grains Matter Chatter podcast presented by Northcore Grains. My name is Jeffrey Guy, and I'm one of your hosts today. I'm joined by the big kahuna himself, Mr. Dwight Foster.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, Jeff. How's your day been going? You bought any grain today, Jeff?
She's been a busy day today, Dwight. Busy day, a great day. It's always good to be busy.
So. That's good. That's great. And then you can have a nice relaxing weekend. No soybeans coming in this weekend yet, Jeff?
Actually, I did talk to one customer who says he's going to start harvesting soybeans this weekend. We'll probably see them on Monday or Tuesday next week.
I expect we'll see more than just his next week too. So this might be the last weekend that we won't be unloading soybeans.
But that's a good thing, where it's nice to see soybeans coming off or going to come off, you know, 2 weeks left in September. That's a good thing. So actually, we talk about soybeans. Well, let's talk about the other local harvest. Silage, your guys have been busy in the silage.
Yes, we're wrapping that up. We're down to one or two jobs left, so we expect to have that completed in the next couple of days. And the cob meal, it's just not too far behind either. We're hearing the corn's really drying down well.
Well, I think that takes us into the, we hear about a little bit of corn being harvested, and it was maybe a little drier than what we would think for this time of year.
Unbelievable, actually, to think, you know, here we are 2 days past the middle of the month, and I've never heard of grain corn harvested this time of year before. But anyways, it gives us something to talk about, Jeff.
That's for sure. And also with the soybeans going to come off, winter wheat, might as well throw out there, but yes. Winter wheat should be a fair amount of winter wheat get planted in the month of September this year.
And I'd like to see the wheat all planted in September, Jeff. It's there's just so much research showing that, you know, early in the ground is an attribute that the wheat likes.
So I'm going to give a little plug for, you know, the wheat crop. If we look at next year's winter wheat prices, they're close to $300 a ton. You know, that's a pretty good number to get started with if people want to talk to us about contracting some wheat. So when we're looking at prices, let's talk about the prices this week. Here, the corn market was up about $7. Soybean market was down a couple. Spring wheat was up $8. Winter wheat was down $3 or $4. Actually, next year's markets were a little stronger than this year's, but a lot of things happened in the markets this week. You know, we go back to Monday. Monday, we had to deal still with some of the fallout from the USDA report, the monthly WASDA report from the previous Friday. Remember in that report, they talked about they didn't increase yields as much as many analysts were looking for. And however, even without increasing those yields, what's really two big things that are out there for the corn and soybean crop this year, Dwight, in the States? So the corn crop, what's it? It's still supposed to be the second largest corn crop the U.S. has ever grown. And soybeans are still looking at a record yield. So supply is strong. Supply is strong. Where does demand sit?
Well, I guess hopefully ethanol demand is strong. Hopefully China is going to continue to buy. Tell me about the terminals in the Gulf, Jeff, or is there movement taking place down there?
So Hurricane Ida idled all the terminals a couple weeks ago. Yeah. They finally, you know, last week they were getting some electricity back to a few of them. This week, I think it was on Thursday, I read that they're finally starting to load some boats again. So that's a lot of soybeans this time of year being exported out of those terminals, like last year's soybeans. But what I've read, there's 14 terminals, and nobody's really saying how long it's going to take to get all 14 of them fully operational. And that's a little cloud hanging over the market. But when we talk about the trouble at the terminals, So this week, I think it was Wednesday, China canceled some soybean orders, right, over 100,000 tons.
Yeah.
And they supposedly replaced those orders with beans from Brazil. So that was what I read. It was beans that would be like October delivery. So it looks, sounds like they're worried in China about the beans coming from the States. Then the next day, so that's Wednesday, they cancel orders, buy more expensive beans from Brazil. On Thursday, they buy more soybeans out of the States for later in the season delivery. So I guess they're confident that they're going to get everything working, but it's just a matter of time. So in those soybeans, so China's been purchasing, but like I said last week, a lot slower than they did last year. And soybean prices are keep going up in China. So that's showing demand in China. And it makes our North American beans much less expensive, very attractive into the Chinese market. So very attractive. And the beans in Brazil are much more expensive right now than the U.S. beans. So when you see those high prices in China, you think they're going to purchase more, they're going to import more.
Well, that would tell me, Jeff, the fact that they canceled that out of the Gulf and quickly replaced it with Brazilian beans, that tells me that there's no big inventory over there, Jeff.
Yeah, you just, I was thinking just-in-time factory deliveries. Yeah. You know, they must have fairly low inventories that they got to keep on top of everything. So, you know, that's a positive for soybeans. So you think China's, what do they use those soybeans for?
Oh, a lot of meal in the hog rations.
So the hog rations. So they must have, we know they have lots of hogs to feed. They use all these soybeans, lots of that in the hog rations. So they need to feed corn. Corn prices in China, though, keep going down the last month or so. And it's kind of funny. They have, a record production of corn in China because the Chinese government tried to get the farmers to plant more corn, which they did. And they're having generally a good year, so they get lots of corn. They still have lots of hogs to feed, so they historically import corn. But right now they're importing feed wheat. And I think what I read, it was a bunch of feed wheat from France, and China even lowered their regulations, their restrictions on what quality had to be to get it in. So they're buying probably cheap feed wheat from France to feed the hogs, not using as much corn as they thought. So somewhere along the way here, the USDA will have to decrease the amount of corn they expect China to import this year. So if China's importing less corn, that's going to hurt demand out of the U.S. because the U.S. has lots of corn to export. So it's kind of funny that they have all these hogs. We think it's great. It's great. It is great. At least they're not exporting crops. They're still importing. So we've talked about soybeans and corn. This ties in a little bit about the wheat. So there's more feed wheat, like France exporting feed wheat. France grows mostly, they try to grow mostly milling quality wheat. And I think I read something about maybe 40% of their crop is only milling quality this year, which is extremely, extremely low. So there's less milling quality wheat. StatsCan this week released a report that production of wheat in Canada was down like 37% from last year. And that's mostly out west because production in Ontario was up some. It was very strong in our area for most wheat growers. So wheat has been kind of giving back some prices because it's just the global, even though there's less milling quality, there's lots of feed wheat around, and it's more a reallocation of where that milling quality wheat has to go. And that's something that's probably going to take time, I think. And I think that's kind of what's happening in the wheat market. And it might have just been one of those markets that went a bit too high, a bit too fast, and is just pulled back a little bit.
So having said what you just did then, if there are people that have ownership of wheat going into the winter months, is that a bad thing? Or, you know, given Canada's lack of production in the prairies, is do you see the wheat prices possibly rallying into the new year?
Well, the wheat market is not really showing that right now on the futures. There's no real carry in that market going out there, so it's not really paying anybody right now to store. And in our domestic market, the end users are pretty stacked up right now. Feed mills, there's a lot of wheat in eastern Ontario, goes into Quebec, into the feed mills, and even our local feed mills. And I think they're fairly well supplied right now. And the new crop corn is so much cheaper than spot wheat that they're going to switch back to corn kind of as quick as they can. So that's a negative for wheat demand. And wheat might, if you haven't really sold it yet or you don't get it sold too soon, it might have to be something you're going to have to hold on to for a while to see if prices are going to reward you or not. So I guess my feeling is it's a hard one to say you're going to make a lot more money.
When did prices rally last year, Jeff? When did we start to see this move in commodity prices specific to the wheat, I guess, is what I'd like to ask.
Well, we go back. Soybeans were the first one in August last year. So they kept going in. So wheat prices, geez, now I'm forgetting the actual time, but I think they were a little bit later in the year when wheat prices, as corn kept going up, wheat started coming up too.
So wheat was being pulled along.
Pulling along. And then you got to remember in the wheat market, wheat is harvested 10 or 11 months of the year around the world. Hmm. So there's always some new wheat news for the market to trade with, yeah. Whether it's Australia or Russia or France, North America, South America. There's always wheat production news out there.
Yeah.
So one of the big thing on wheat, they always talk about world supplies and all the commodities, but in wheat supplies, when there's a problem in Argentina, then is that going to pull down supplies? And this year they were looking for supplies to go down, but then production numbers generally came up a little bit, not in North America for the spring wheat. But there's less milling quality. So there's more wheat, but less milling quality. It's a different market for sure.
Let's move on from wheat. We talked a lot about wheat here, and I didn't maybe mean to speak so much about that with you about it, but do you see any issue with these corn yields that are being forecasted? Do you see any issue having the houses to put it away, Jeff?
Well, most definitely. It's, you know yourself, Dwight, that when corn yields are up, it just seems the big crops get bigger.
Yeah.
And with your silage yields were, what, near 50% higher this year?
Well, they were 40%? Yeah, they were better than last year by a long ways, yes.
You know, I know even some dairy farmers tell me where last year they put in 50 acres of silage. This year it's 30 acres of silage. So the yields are up there. Are we going to run out of space? Or is the market going to run out of space? I think we had the internal discussion. Didn't I say something about getting some bags for the egg bagger here?
Oh, bags.
So it's basically my feeling is that, yeah, I think all the elevators are going to get full, and people that leave their corn out a lot later in the harvest season might have a little more trouble finding some homes.
Right.
And corn price is still pretty attractive for this fall. It's posted at $2.63. And if we get a harvest glut, you could see prices, see basis go lower in eastern Ontario for sure. So I hate to end it with doom and gloom, but that's...
Well, we don't have to know. The good news is a lot of the corn's black-layered this week. So that's a good news story. We made it to physiological maturity and no frost. So bushel weight should be very favorable. There's going to be a tremendous crop of corn, Jeff. That's
all a positive. All good. So I think that's a good way to end it. We're looking forward to a good soybean yield and an even better corn yield, and look forward to talking to everybody again next week.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bye for now.